Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. This is our Tuesday flagship show. Super excited to have you join us today. Today, I'm talking to Greg Vetter, who is based on the East Coast. So he's in Maryland and we're in North Carolina. And we're going to talk all things health and fitness, but we're also going to talk a little bit of business because he's got his hands on a lot of things. So thanks for joining me today.
I am excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Fabulous. So I would love for you, I know you and I were chatting just a few minutes ago before we got online, but I would love for you to introduce yourself to my audience.
Yep. So I'm Greg Vetter, original founder and CEO of Tessie Mays. So we built the number one organic salad dressing brand in the country. I wrote a book about that entire journey because it did not end the way I thought it was going to end, which was me riding off into the sunset with hundreds of millions of dollars. It actually ended in a complete dumpster fire and me trying to find the deeper meaning in all of the suffering. And then how do I turn something that horrible into something that is productive and beneficial, not only for my own life, but my children and attempting to leave things better than when I found it. So I wrote a book called Undressed, The Unfiltered Story, My Failed American Dream and How It Led to Success. And then with all the different ventures I'm in now, we have a produce business on the West Coast. So we make salads for Sam's Club and Costco and other retailers. We have
fantastic.
We have a manufacturing business in West Virginia where we do sauces and dressing and honey and spices. We have a Port-a-John business, which we launched through our brand accelerator, because when you build something as dumb as salad dressing into a national brand, you can kind of do anything.
Right, pretty much.
So we have a brand accelerator where we help brands launch and scale. And so that took us into Tushies, portable toilets.
So very appropriate name.
Thank you. That was a branding exercise.
Yeah, I love
it. Me and my creative director. And then we got a whole bunch of other things going on. So outside of coaching my kids' sports, I'm very busy.
I bet. So let's start with food concept, because that sounds like that's where all this began.
Yep.
So what made you decide to get into the food business?
I didn't know I was going to be in the food business. I was selling insurance over top of a bodega looking over a cemetery. And I thought to myself, this is not how I pictured my life turning out.
I can imagine.
Right. I was young. I was only at the time, you know, 25, 24.
Yeah, you didn't know what you didn't know.
And so every day I would go home and I would stand on my head waiting for an epiphany. And one never came. But then I would go downstairs and I would make myself a big salad with this salad dressing that my mom had made for me in a 2-liter bottle. She had always made this one dressing, olive oil, lemons, garlic, mustard, sea salt. She would make it in a 2-liter bottle for me and my brothers once a month, once every 2 months. And that's what we put on everything. And one day I walked downstairs to find the salad dressing. It's missing from my little townhouse. And I start looking, because you don't misplace a 2-liter bottle.
That's true. Yeah. It's not like you just don't put it in the closet and forget about it. Right.
And so I can't find it. I call my wife. I'm like, hey, I cannot find the salad dressing anywhere. Did you take it to work? And she kind of laughed and she goes, well, why don't you look? And I'm like, I've been looking.
Yeah.
Maybe someone broke into our house and stole it. I go, no one broke into our home
to steal salad dressing.
Our salad dressing. And she goes, I don't know what to tell you, Greg. So I start calling people and I get to this one guy who eats fast food every day. And I said, hey, man, random question. Have you seen my salad dressing? And he goes, yup. Woke up this morning, was jonesing for it, hopped on the scooter, came over, knew the code to your house, came in, took it, and now I'm crushing a salad. And I sat there and I thought to myself, what kind of man steals another man's salad dressing?
Right.
But then I thought, what kind of salad dressing is good enough to be stolen? So I called my wife back.
Good point.
And I said, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start a salad dressing company. Dead silence.
I bet.
and then she goes, I have a really weird feeling this is going to work. And, you know, that was in 2009. So then I cold called grocery stores, got a meeting with somebody, told them I was a world famous food manufacturer, which was not true. And
a little embellishment never hurt anything.
You know, the process of physically getting into a grocery store is way harder than getting the yes.
True. But
they tried it. It was amazing. And, you know, over the course of the next 15 years, we built the number one organic salad dressing brand in the country. We invented clean manufacturing. We spearheaded the clean eating movement. And it was a wild, wild journey.
And I bet. I bet. So what's the name of the salad dressing again?
Tessie Mays.
Tessie Mays. And can you find it like in grocery stores everywhere? Or is it exclusive to like Whole Foods and places like that?
Originally, I'm not involved in it anymore, but we were in every grocery store in the United States of America.
Okay. And you still are.
I don't know what people are doing with it now. I know it's still in Whole Foods. I don't know where else it's sold.
Interesting. Okay.
I eat my salad dry these days out of principle.
I love that. So here's my next question, and this might sound like a little bit of a roundabout way to ask, but obviously you believe that your product was worthy of being like the number one clean salad dressing, if you will. But I look around the industry today, and there's like a million and one choices, it seems like. Lots of people are finally talking about how to read a label, about all the extra additives and ingredients that are in things. So my sense is that you wanted to do this because you felt like this was going to give you the best alternative based on what the choices that we have now are, right?
Well, one, I couldn't believe that clean salad dressing didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Exactly. It was 2009, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I have an original thought. And I go to all the grocery stores thinking, yeah, you know, Greg, you're just an idiot. You didn't know that it existed. So I went into Whole Foods. It didn't exist. I went into Fresh Market. It didn't exist. I went into Safeway. It didn't exist. I went to local markets. It didn't exist. And I'm like, how
does
dressing without crap in it not exist in 2009?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
So that really began our journey of, one, trying to change our stars through entrepreneurship and the American dream.
Totally.
But then two, really trying to figure out, why doesn't this exist? Why are people not making something that's relatively simple to make at home, right? Anybody can mix olive oil, lemons, garlic, mustard, sea salt in a bowl, mix it, put it on lettuce. How has no one figured out how to put this in a bottle? That doesn't register in my brain.
Yeah.
And so once we realized that we could do it, then you're faced with this next obstacle, which is like, how much are you willing to commit to bringing this to the world? Mm-hmm. Because co-packers can't make it for you. They haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
So are you going to start your own manufacturing plant? How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
How are you going to invent a bottling line that has never produced dressing without thickening agents?
So what's interesting in what you're saying, and this just literally popped into my head, so bear with me here, is that you're creating a solution, but you're also creating another problem, right? You're figuring out that you have this great product, but now I have to figure out a way to make it.
I mean, it was so hard.
I bet.
I mean, usually I bet. People come up with an idea or a brand or a manufacturing process or something. Those are independent businesses.
Yeah.
Nobody puts them all together and vertically integrates this entire process for something as dumb as salad dressing.
Yeah.
But I mean,
But let's look at salad dressing for a minute. And look, my background is in health and fitness. I know you're a health and fitness enthusiast. It doesn't take a genius to look around at the population today and know that 60% of Americans don't get enough activity. And there's more than that that are at least overweight, if not obese. Yes. And a lot of that is due to the eating habits that we have. So people can go and buy a salad dressing and think that they're making a healthy choice, but they're really not.
Right. Well, and the other part that finally, which is really interesting, is a topic of conversation. It's not even so much the macronutrient component or the calories.
Right.
It's all the weird crap that nobody talks about or ignores or pretends isn't bad.
Yeah.
So natural flavors is a great example.
Yeah.
Citric acid is a great example. Thickening agents in general are a great example, because what happens with thickening agents, it's really, really hard to produce anything without a constant, consistent volume in mass production.
Yeah.
So the easiest thing to do is fill it with thickening agents that then stabilizes the real ingredients so that it doesn't matter what happens in the manufacturing process.
Yeah.
It will always come out the way that you want.
Yeah.
But when you take a step back, well, how much is actually safe to consume in a day?
Yeah.
Of a thickening agent. Yeah. Right? It's like less than 1%, less than 2% of xanthan gum in this situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I have a low calorie ice cream with Halo top. Wow, I'm gonna, you know, cheat with this. Or I have a vegan milk, or I have a, well, if you look at it, it's just thickening agents, sugar, natural flavors, and God knows whatever else in it.
Yep.
And you're being sold this complete lie that, no, it's totally fine, it's totally good. Because if you think about it, it's like, I mean, they have a vegan egg.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just thickening agents, a protein isolate, natural flavors, natural coloring. And it's like, well, if you're doing that at every meal, in every food, in every drink, in every dessert, your body cannot process that much chaos day in and day out.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So the salad dressing that you made was an answer to that.
It was our attempt to do it, which was originally. But then what you do is you get faced with consumer adoption and whether or not people actually care on a mass scale, and then trying to find ways to at least make something better or healthier than the alternatives, even though you're leaving its most pure form. So then you're faced with this really kind of moral dilemma, which is like, well, it really should just be this.
Yeah.
If consumers don't want that and don't care.
Yeah.
And you still have the ability to make it better
than
everything else, what do you do?
And the public is just so finicky in general. I mean, it's hard to find like the perfect combination. This is why we have 30 different kinds of cereal, for example, on the market right now. And, you know, 35 different kinds of bread. And it's like, you're just trying to find that product that the public, to your point, like says, yeah, we like this. This is good.
Well, and then the public wants a silver bullet.
Yeah.
Right. Just straight up. They want a silver bullet. So you need, as a consumer package, good brand or a manufacturer or whatever, it's how do you stay sustainable and resilient as a product and a brand to withstand the food trends, knowing they're going to come every 3 to 6 months. And we just watch so many brands tie themselves to one food trend. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal product.
Yeah.
Phenomenal everything. But when that food trend died, they died. And and that's another just generally tough situation to be in.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So you sold your salad dressing and all of that. You're not involved with that anymore.
Right.
What you said. So you have but instead you have a produce company, you said, on the West Coast.
Yep.
So, and you're involved with that, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Okay. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we make basically, if you go into like a major retailer and you buy a chicken Caesar salad or something for a family of four, we're producing the kit for the retailers so that they can have fresh options for their consumers.
I see. So it's kind of a, you supply the materials and they put it together, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So you'll find that in places like Costco and Sam's Club and places where you go and this, and because I really think now more than ever, at least in the last couple of years, there's more options in grocery stores and markets where foods are already put together. Like I was in Whole Foods this morning and there was probably eight different salads that were already put together, like ready to buy.
Yep. It goes back to, maybe this was in like 2015, 16, somewhere in there. It was the snackification of America.
Oh, I like that.
And so you saw all of these food trends going to this grab and go option. And I forgot what year it was. I did a TEDx talk on family dinners. But yeah, for the first time ever, people were spending more money at bars and restaurants than they were at the grocery store. And then also, if you then looked at other data points, people were spending more money at grab and go options and convenience stores than they were grocery stores. So then the grocery stores were forced to have grab and go options because people
they had to keep up.
Right. They got to keep up
what the public wants.
Exactly. So there's that entire process of the grab and go, need to get it, don't have time to make it. And then again, then you're left with, the farther you step away from source foods, which are just from the ground or an animal or milk,
real foods, right?
You know, you could use the term, the sketchier it gets.
Yeah.
Because you can have a better for you option. The better for you option has to get there, and people have to be willing to buy it.
Yeah.
And that's really the issue, which is like, people have to be willing to buy it, because everybody can make the cleanest thing on the planet.
Totally.
If people aren't going to spend the money for it, you can't make it at scale, and it doesn't matter.
Right. Right. And you could even take that same reasoning and apply it to how we do ourselves every day with health, fitness, self-care. It's like, people have to be willing to take the time
and do it. So what do you say to that?
Well, my whole belief is you can't have a healthy mind and an unhealthy body.
Yep.
And then when you really kind of step back and go, well, what is my purpose here on the planet, whether it's with my family or in work or anything, it's to lead by example. And so if you want to lead by example and you know that a healthy mind can't live in an unhealthy body, and to take it one other step down, your job in reality as a CEO or a leader or a community leader or anything is to make good decisions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to put your body and your brain in the best possible option to make good decisions. You can't make good decisions unless your body's ready to make good decisions.
Yeah.
That comes from exercise. That comes from nutrition. That comes from supplements, that comes from sweating, that comes from doing hard stuff, that comes from
uncomfortable things.
Everything uncomfortable, right? It's cry now, laugh later.
Yeah, I love that because I feel like, you know, on one hand, you've got people going for this grab and go mentality, you know, this let me get convenience food because I don't have time to cook.
Yeah.
You know, and to your point, it's like if your body is falling apart or in not in the best shape, then there, of course, you're going to end up making not the best decisions for yourself. So I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So what do you say to the person out there listening who's like, well, that's easy for you to say? Where do you tell them to start?
I tell them to start with literally anything, anytime, anywhere. Make one improvement on something you care about. So it could be the morning routine. It could be hydration, it could be supplements, it could be exercise. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
What you're going to figure out is once you improve that one thing, you're going to start improving other things.
Yeah.
Because how you do something is how you do everything.
Yep.
So the minute you start improving one thing, it's like when you clean your car.
Yeah.
You clean your car, you walk into your closet and it's dirty, you're going to clean your closet. It's how it goes. And so for anybody, you know, wake up early. That's my first recommendation. Wake up, own your frickin' morning. Plan out the day.
Yeah.
Have peace. Have quiet. Have it be non-rushed. Read. Pray. Watch the sunrise. Smile. Don't wake up in a panic. Hit the alarm snooze button, run out to your car, grab a Dunkin' Donuts, speed to work. Like, what kind of day?
This is how so many people live. You're just describing the typical American routine.
I know. But
it starts with making that one different decision.
Well, and everyone's like, well, I'm not a morning person. No one's a morning person. I wake up at 4 a.m. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to wake up whenever the sun gently hits my face and lets me rise, and I walk outside and the birds are chirping. Like, that would be cool.
And you have your 3-hour morning routine, right?
And I still have a 3-hour morning routine. It just starts at 4.
Yeah.
Right?
So I am a morning person, and it's just like anything else. It's a habit you have to keep working at. It's just like, you know, going in the gym and starting to work out. You don't get strong with one workout. You have to keep strengthening over and over again. It's the same thing with getting up in the morning. You might not like it, but the first 5 minutes sucked. But after that, I'm like, I'm good.
Totally agree. And I would say people probably consider me a morning person because I'm up very early every single day. But it was by choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Intentional action.
Right. Some people can just pop up. My youngest son is like that. He just hears me moving. He's up. My second child, who's a boy, it goes girl, boy, an earthquake could be happening. He's not getting up. But when you have something to do or a goal to achieve, or you're just looking for health, you're going to have to get up at some point. You're going to have to own your morning at some point. And it might as well be today.
And it's about what gives you more purpose and meaning. You know, you might have to know exactly what that is, but that's how you started, is you put yourself first in the morning, is really what you're saying.
If you don't put yourself first, no one is.
Yep.
Right? It's the airplane oxygen mask. Please put it on first so that you can then help others.
Yep. Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And the greatest part about it, your kids, your family, they may not wake up at the same time as you, but their habits are going to change too. They're going to know you're up and you're productive and you're happy. And when they walk downstairs, they see you smiling. They're going to want that too.
Yeah.
Because being rushed and angry sucks.
It does suck.
It sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But to your point, it's like what the positive choices are contagious to other people. You know, It's like they see that, and it's like the one Harry met Sally, I want what she's having.
Right.
It's true though. It's like, you know, that when you display that energy, it's like, that's what people want.
100%. And then they go, well, I can't do it. Well, you can set your alarm 15 minutes earlier tomorrow. You can do 15 minutes. And then the next day you could probably do another 15.
Yeah.
And then the next day.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're going to find that perfect time that allows you to wake up and not be rushed and be productive and feel like you have a win and feel like you owned it.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee you that translates into everything else you do that day. I guarantee you.
Yep. Could not agree more. Speaking truth. So where can people connect with you?
Social media.
Okay.
GregoryVetter.com.
Okay.
I'm always posting stuff on Instagram, GLVetter. I'm on LinkedIn. I respond to stuff, and I have a team that also checks all my messages.
And you have a few books out, and do you have any programs or anything that you're working on that you'd like to tell us about?
Yep, I'm doing some leadership retreats here, starting I think the date's May 1st or somewhere around that.
Fabulous.
So I live on a giant farm. And we're going to start doing some leadership retreats here.
Fantastic.
And the title of the first one is The Search for Optimal.
I like that.
Which is just combining all of the different things we talked about here in the pursuit of finding your optimal state of being so that you can be your most optimal self.
Love that. We do a lot of retreats too. So I totally hear you on that. Fantastic. And it's a good concept to dive into in an immersive experience like a retreat.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for making time to chat with me today. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And so folks out there listening, if you would like to connect with Greg, you can find his info in the show notes. You can find his website, all his social media handles. If you're interested in his retreat, you could go to his website, I would imagine, and connect with him about that. You can also read about the work that he's doing and all of his various businesses. And just know that we are grateful for all of you. If you are just listening to me for the very first time, or if you've been with us for any length of time, we consider you part of our family. So just know that we are grateful for all of you. You guys are the reason why we keep showing up. This is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.